We're continuing on the topic of prayer, and today the message is, what is prayer? Luke 18, let's read from verse 1. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. And there was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection from my opponent. And for a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection, lest by continually coming she wear me out. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God. We bless you today, Lord. We thank you for hearts, God, that burn for you, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that you would come, God, and you would minister to us and teach us right now, God. Lord, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself this morning, God, and I ask that you use me to preach your prophetic word with power and authority, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. Come and teach us today. Teach us now, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. You know, kind of piggybacking a little bit on Leanne's testimony, you know, it is very important for us to go, right? And we all kind of know that. In fact, you know, 2/3 of God's name is go. And so we can recognize that it's quite important. If some of you guys are just getting it now, it's okay. G-O-D. Oh, I get it, Pastor Sam. That's good. And so it's important. So just as a prayer for me, tonight, actually, my wife and I were flying out to South Africa. And so this is our 10th anniversary. Actually, our 10th anniversary is March 9th. But we have so many weddings going on, we couldn't quite work something out during that time. And God just kind of opened the doors very supernaturally. It's the first time we're leaving our kids in Hong Kong. And so, it could very well be the first time that my wife gets to sleep in 6 years. And so I actually have this kind of recurring thought that I'm going to be going on safari by myself while my wife's in bed the whole time. But I'm sure it's not going to be that way. So if you could pray for us as a family, this is a huge faith adventure for us, you know, to leave our 3 girls behind. And we're just not leaving them behind. Actually, Pastor Eugene and Pastor Carol and Elijah are moving in, you know, with Subi, who actually was our old helper as well. So there'll be plenty of people. I know a lot of you guys are going to be visiting them, you know, whatnot during this time. And so it's you know, just kind of as a reflection, it's interesting. When we got married 10 years ago, I actually wanted to take my wife to South Africa to go on safari. And I had met some guy from Cape Town, and he said, yeah, just come by. But we didn't have any money nor the time, and so we never made it. But, you know, 10 years later, God opens the door for us. And there are a few church members that are actually quite generous to us and helped us with all the arrangements and paid for some of the stuff. And so we're quite thankful to them. And so if you could just remember us this week, we're back Saturday morning, and so we're only gone for 5 days, right? But, you know, 5 days without our kids, I'm kind of stressing out even now. And I actually still don't believe it. I think when I sit on the plane and they close the doors, oh, we're actually leaving, you know, we're going to spend some time together. And I made the mistake of asking my wife, hey, can I bring a video player to this thing? And I was told that I cannot. And so I can't do anything. So I said, what are we going to do? She says, we're going to talk. Oh, yeah, talk. That's what people do. I forgot about that after all these years. So, yeah. So pray for me. I'll have no form of entertainment and things. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. But this week, and so please do pray for us. But this week in house church, during the icebreaker, the icebreaker was, you know, what word do you think about when you think about prayer? And so I emailed our house church leaders, and this was kind of a list of what people thought about, right? Thought about intimacy, contending, relationship, transforming, communication, hope, change, presence, passion, blessing, relationship, discipline, quiet time, communion, praying in spirit and truth. Interesting, one of the house churches, they didn't quite understand the instructions. You know, I just said one word. They're giving me all these phrases, right? Listening, consistency, power, desperation, conversation, God's will, His plan, talking to myself. Those are all, you know, we won't say which house church that was from, but some of your house churches are kind of pretty funny, you know. And then these were more the honest answers. Laborious, difficult work, time, guilt, battle, boredom, brute force, sheer willpower. That was one line. Distractions, inadequate, something I don't do enough of or should do more of. This was my favorite of them all. I'm not going to say who it was, what's house church. Oh, yeah. As in, I forgot about it, but I should do more. Right? So, oh yeah, I got to pray. Right? We all know prayer is important, you know, but prayer, I mean, let's be honest, in our day and time has a negative stigma attached to it for some reason. Right? And we all know it's important. I became a fan of C.S. Lewis when I got saved, and I always really appreciate his wisdom. And he writes this about prayer. He says, "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. At the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." Right? Now, I mean, you know, when you read something like that, it makes prayer seem so romantic, you know, like so awe-inspiring. But instead, we think laborious, difficult, guilt. Oh, I got to do more of these things. All right, let me read you the Lewis quote again to take you to another level here. "The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in." It's beautiful, isn't it? That's what prayer is, right? Prayer is a transformation that takes place in our hearts. So we ask the question today, what is prayer, right? And I'll do this by sharing a story with you about how I learned to really, really pray. I learned more about prayer in one day than I had in 10 years before this of reading books. And I read tons and tons of books. I was very fortunate, and I had a mentor early on. And I asked the question, you know, can you teach me how to pray? And instead of really, you know, like sitting me down, he actually said, you need to read this book, this book, this book, and this book. And one of the series of books that I was led to read was actually by an author named E.M. Bounds. And if you're familiar with Bounds, he wrote a whole series of books on prayer that I still actually am drawn towards here and there. And so you know, I read so many different books and tried to experience and meet with people, but I learned more about prayer in one afternoon, right, spending time with this one particular person. His name was Dick Simmons. Dick Simmons is a true prayer warrior. Dick Simmons, some of you guys may be familiar with him, but he actually discipled Pat Robertson, and he also discipled the guy from Times Square Church, David Wilkerson. And so he's an older guy, and now he lives in Washington, D.C., and he has an apartment. He lives on the second floor of an apartment, and we were actually staying on the first floor of that apartment and actually sharing the apartment with a senator. It was kind of a long, crazy story. We're rooming together with him, and upstairs he had his apartment, and the loft of his apartment, He had a prayer room, which was quite famous in Washington, D.C. And in this prayer room, he had three large windows, you know, in his loft, and each of them actually faced directly through what he felt was the three power points of Washington, D.C., you know, where all the decisions in the United States are made. And there's one window, and it faces the Supreme Court building. In fact, the apartment is directly across the street from the Supreme Court. And so one window faced the Supreme Court. The middle window faced the Capitol building, you know, where the House meets, you know, and then the far right window faces the ACLU building. And so, We'd have people from all over the world come to this loft, and we would just sit there and just kneel, you know, and we just face the Supreme Court and we pray for righteous decisions. Then we'd face the Capitol building and we pray for righteous laws. And then we pray against the ACLU for God's righteousness to come down. Right? I don't want to sound so political, right? But I mean, that's a demonic organization. And so we were looking at all these different things and we're asking God to move in these places, you know, and all kinds of things were happening. And so, and this is what he did. We would go to these prayer meetings in D.C. And I was fortunate enough to be a part of this organization, you know, back then called The Call. And they still exist. And they do stadium gatherings all over the world. And they were doing their first meeting in Washington, D.C. It was going to be 12 hours of prayer and fasting. And I was in charge of leading the follow-through team. And so what ended up happening, basically, I led a group of young preachers and intercessors and admin people, you know, and we traveled around the whole country for about 4 months in a motorhome. It was like kind of a sanctified MTV Road Rules kind of thing, right? A Christian version. And we traveled and we go to churches all over the United States, some very prominent churches, and we preach and we basically share the messages of The Call about prayer and fasting. And so, you know, I would go to D.C. about once a month, stay there for about a week and a half, you know, to attend the board meetings and to really engage in, you know, the prayer life of, you know, this, our nation's capital. And I remember, you know, we'd wake up early in the morning, we'd go to these prayer houses all over D.C. You know, I mean, it was amazing, you know, as an outsider to see this kind of movement happening. And there were all these prayer houses that people, very wealthy people, actually bought these houses all over the city, and there were houses of prayer. You know, and anyone could go there and actually stay there as long as you're willing to pray. And so we'd get up like at 5 in the morning, we'd go to these prayer houses, and we would just pray. You know, and next thing you know, we start praying, and next thing you know, right, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. And I look at my friends, man, we just pray for 5 hours. That's unbelievable. You know, I mean, it felt like 10 minutes, right? I mean, it was just crazy because we're praying with these seasoned intercessors. I mean, these seasoned prayer warriors. You know, Dick Simmons, you know, what he would do is during, you know, special sessions in Congress or, you know, in particular, the season that we were there with, it was actually when Bill Clinton was in office. I mean, that's how long ago this was. And Clinton was actually trying to get the Israelis to give up land, you know, to broker a peace deal. You know, I mean, I don't know what you think about Israel and you know, the whole situation and whatnot and things, but I mean, I don't want to go off a tangent, but I just want to share with you, that land belongs to them. God gave it to them, you know, and so for you to partition land, you know, to broker a peace treaty or whatnot, you know, which is not real shalom, right? It's just the absence of war, which is really not going to happen anyway, and things, you know, that's a slight against God. And I mean, I don't want to get into it now and all these things. And so what Simmons did, because they were meeting at Camp David, him and a whole group of people, you know, they were just walking around Camp David, just praying, right, that this deal would just collapse, right? Because what happens is when something like that happens, right, judgment falls on a nation, you know, simply because of the fact that you've done something against the Lord. I feel like I have to expand on this a little bit, just so you don't leave confused. It's like the issue of abortion, right? I know it may be sounding a little political right now, but let me just explain to you, just in very simple detail, right? When you legalize abortion, you know, which is, you know, and if you look in the scriptures, it's talking about the spirit of Molech, right? Children's sacrifice. It's the modern day version. And when you legalize that, what happens is now you open yourself up to the judgment of God. Now the argument says, well, even if we don't legalize it, right, then people will still do it. That's really not the issue. Right, the issue is a nation comes together and says, this is wrong or this is right, you know, and thus align themselves in a certain way in terms of God's authority and God's rule. And then when that happens, all kinds of things can happen, right? And if you look through U.S. history and you look through the issue of abortion and you look at the societal effects afterwards, society went down, family went down, all these things happened after Roe versus Wade. And so when you see something like this happening, we recognize as a nation, as a country, right, even in here in Hong Kong, right, there has to be a righteousness by which we live by. And so because they were brokering this land and all these things, they would just walk around. And if you remember back then, the deal was done, And then last minute, right, Arafat kind of went nuts and he nixed the deal. And then it didn't happen, you know. And so these guys were a part of this. And so one afternoon, after spending, you know, many weeks and praying with Dick and all these things, we sat there and we just, myself and a couple guys from our team, we said, hey, Dick, can you spend a few hours with us and teach us everything you know about prayer? Just everything you know. You know, I had never seen anyone like this before. You know, I had never seen someone so committed to the ministry of prayer. You know, and he would even say, like, he would say intriguing things to me. He'd say, like, yeah, when I really, really want to pray, I actually need to leave Washington, D.C. And he goes into Virginia and Maryland and other states. I'm like, really? Why do you do that? You know, because it's, you know, I mean, all kinds, he's talking about spiritual warfare. I mean, I'm new to all these things. He's talking about all this stuff. And I'm like, man, it's just intriguing. And I mean, sorry, it's a long intro, but this is my main point, right? This is what Dick Simmons says. And I'll never forget this line. He says, if you go to pray, he says, that's not true prayer. Right? He says, if you have to go to pray, like you go somewhere to pray or whatnot, he says, it's not true prayer. He says, true praying is waiting on God. He said, true prayer is joining the Holy Spirit's intercession. Right? True praying is birth out of your relationship with the Holy Spirit. You know, and we're, I mean, we're just blasting it with question after question and realize it all came down to this thing. I don't know if you came on time to church today and you saw the video, you know. By the way, before the service, you know, every service, we actually show a video that kind of relates to, you know, the sermon and the theme and whatnot. I know a lot of you guys come late, right? And so this is meant to be kind of like, you should feel a little guilty about this. You know, so you come a little late, so you don't really see the video, but there was a really good video today, you know, and part of the video was all these requests of like, can you do this? Can you give me an A? Can you, you know? And I want to suggest to you, that's prayer in a sense, but the heart of it, right, what Dick Simmons is trying to tell us, it's a little different, right? Because prayer flows out of God's heart. It flows out of the Holy Spirit. And that's why most prayer should actually be not us talking, but actually us listening. Can you imagine how much more fun it would be to pray? Right? Because, you know, for most of us, we just don't know what to say. You know, I mean, we pray about through our family, you know, and we pray about, you know, issues in our life. And that's all good, right? You know, but then we, you know, I mean, that's like 5 minutes, right? And then, but we want to step into something else. Can you imagine how much more fun and lively prayer would be when we're listening to the Lord and He's downloading to us? And now we're just joining His intercession, right? You know, the scriptures tell us that Jesus is making intercession for us right now. You know, and what Dick Simmons is talking about in prayer, he's talking about what is Jesus praying about? I mean, just think about that for a moment, right? You know, Jesus is praying right now for you. He's asking the Lord on your behalf right now. He forever lives to make intercession for us. And so He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's praying for every single one of us. What is He praying? Jesus is praying about Hong Kong. What is He praying? He's praying about China right now, even as I speak. He's praying about these things that are on our hearts. What is He praying? Right? That's the key. Right? To find out what He's praying. To open ourselves up in intimacy that we can hear from God. And out of the information, out of the leanings in our heart, then we join God in what He's doing. Isn't that so much better, joining Him instead of doing it on our own? How many of you guys would rather just do it on your own? Boring, right? That's when you get laborious, difficult, guilt, battle, boredom, brute force, sheer willpower, right? That's when that happens. But we join God in what He's doing, and something else happens, right? True prayer, it's not a program. It's not a list. It's depending, trusting, and obeying. True prayer is responding to God. It's responding to the Holy Spirit. Let me share a story with you. In the Hebride Islands off the coast of Scotland, there were 7 young men. You know, the history writes that they were actually quite young men. They prayed for 3 years, three nights a week in a barn to pray for revival. They were young fathers. You know, they would spend the whole day at work. They put the kids to bed, and they would walk up a hill, you know, that was up on the Hebrides Islands. They'd walk up a hill because they begin to notice, right, just the sinfulness, the debauchery, and just the wretched nature of the people that were living on this island. And so these seven men committed themselves, and they says, you know what, we're going to go, and we're going to pray three nights a week. They would put their kids to bed, you know, everything, kiss their wife, and they'd go up the hill and begin to pray. They entered into a covenant with God in accordance with Isaiah 62. I'll read this to you, 6 and 7. It says, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I've appointed watchmen. All day and all night they will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves and give no rest until he establishes and makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. And they covenant, these seven brothers, they covenant together to say, we will give ourselves no rest until God brings revival to our islands. Right? I mean, just amazing. One night, as they gather together in the evening, they begin to read Psalm 24, you know, as part of their devotion, as they begin to pray, you know, and they read verse 3 to 5. And the scripture said, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in the holy place? Those who have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has sworn deceitfully. They shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. You know, and then one of the brothers, upon, you know, reading this verse, because they were ascending to the hill every, right, 3 days a week. You know, and he says this, and you got to excuse the old kind of English, okay, but I'm just taking it literally what this guy said. One of the brothers spoke out, and he says, brethren, it is not so much humbug to be waiting thus night after night if we ourselves are not right with God. He then lifted his hands and cried out, O God, are my hands clean? Is my heart pure? Immediately he fell prostrate on the floor. An awesome awareness of God filled the barn. God released a stream of supernatural power in their lives. That night they found themselves searched by the holiness of God, and saw things in their lives, right, that they had never suspected. After this prayer time, they were walking back into town. Look at what happened. Something happened while they were praying, right? As their drunks were making their way to the church on their hands and knees, crying out for mercy. The church was being filled with saints and sinners crying out to God. Later, they call upon a well-known evangelist, Duncan Campbell, to come and speak to lead the revival. They said there was so much power in those meetings. Right? One unsaved man said this. He says, I haven't been to church, but this revival is in the air. I can't get away from the Spirit. A bus driver became so burdened, right, that he stopped the bus and made a plea to his passengers to repent, right, and ensure that someone that was hearing God's last call to salvation wouldn't be returning home with them. The warning went unheeded, and before the return journey, a young man who had been on the bus was killed in a tragic circumstance, all because a young man really prayed by simply responding to the Holy Spirit. Right, can you imagine? These guys, 3 years, holed up, right, in a barn, seeking God for something, and then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit began to open up the scripture to them. Right, and begin to speak through just this one young man and say, hey, is your heart right? You just read this scripture, right? You just read this thing. You're asking God for revival, you know, but you need revival. And the guy responded to the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? He didn't do his own thing. He responded to God. There was a quickening in his spirit. Falls on his knees, and they said the power of God came and hit that barn. Interestingly enough, as soon as the power of God hit that barn, the power of God hit the town. You can go look it up. I mean, it's amazing. One of the major revivals in Scotland, right? The revivals in the Hebrides Islands. You know, because a person simply responded to God. You know, and when I hear and read stories like this, I wonder about ourselves. I wonder about myself. I wonder, you know, how many of my prayers are ineffective. That's a whole other thing. But the other side is, I wonder why I don't have more joy when I pray or when I think about prayer. Maybe it's because I'm doing it on my own. Maybe it's because I'm relying on my own strength, on my own abilities, instead of simply responding to God, right? Being in a loving relationship with the Lord and just responding to what He has. You know, we know that prayer can change nations. It brings revival. It tears down strongholds. Let me read you this other quote by Bounds. Ian Bounds said this. He says, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier forces against evil. The prayers of God's saints are the capital stock of heaven by which God carries on His great work upon the earth. God conditions the very life and prosperity of His cause on prayer. On prayer. So what does the Bible say? We read this passage in Luke chapter 18. You know, and we read a passage like this, and you can kind of misunderstand the meaning, you know, because, you know, it seems to say, oh my goodness, I got to like bother God day and night. You know, I got to like be banging on His doors all the time, you know, just to receive something simply from the Lord. That's not what Jesus is saying through this passage, right? The key to understanding what prayer is, right, through this, and He starts off, right, this is His first word. Now, He was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and to not lose heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. How many of you have lost heart when it comes to prayer? Don't raise your hand, right? Let it just be like an inner hand in your heart, right? You know? But I wonder how many of us, I mean, really, let's really ask Spirit of God to speak to us, and then we respond accordingly. How many of us have lost the heart to pray? Have lost the desire? How many of us have gone to the, oh yeah, yeah, I should be doing some more of that stuff? You know, and we lost the will. And so He tells us this parable, right? The key to understanding this is not the widow banging on day and night. Actually, the key is the judge. It's the unrighteous judge. It's a compare and contrast, right? The key is if the unrighteous judge will answer, how much more a righteous God who really cares and loves us? That's the point of this parable. We read Matthew 7 last week. Right? Ask, and should give it to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. Right? I did the whole, you know, exegesis on the passage last week. After that, right, if you remember, He says, you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Heavenly Father give to those who ask Him? Right? It's the same principle. It's not a drudgery, right? God is telling us in these two passages, He's saying, church, I want to answer your prayers, right? I want to move on your behalf, but you got to pray the right prayers. That's the key, right? You got to pray what's on God's heart. Those are done deals, you know? You got to respond to the Holy Spirit, you know, and what He's doing in our lives. You can't just randomly pick something out, right? You know, it doesn't quite work that way, right? It's because He cares for us, right? While Jesus was on earth, He prayed so much. If the Son of God needed to pray, then we should also pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians. You know, when we talk about what is prayer and all these things, more than anything else, my ultimate goal at the end of this year is to change our attitudes about prayer. That's really it. At the end of this year, as we teach, right, that we get to December and our attitude about prayer just totally changes. Because, you know, I don't know if you heard this term, right, but it's your attitude that will determine your altitude, right? It's your attitude that determines your altitude, how high you go. There's a story, I shared this before, there's a story about this little boy, and this little boy was playing baseball by himself. You know, and he was sitting there and, you know, he had a bat and a ball in his hand and he was throwing the ball up in the air and he's trying to hit it and he would say, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he would throw the ball up in the air and he would swing and he missed, right? So he picked the ball back up and he would say, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. And he'd throw the ball in the air and he'd swing and he'd miss again. And so he picked the ball up a third time and he said again, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He'd throw the ball up in the air and he'd swing and he'd miss. And then after he missed the third time, he says, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world, right? And some of you guys that don't know baseball, you don't quite get this idea, right? But it's a simple thing, but this kid had a good attitude, You know what I mean? His circumstances stayed the same, but it was his attitude that changed everything, right? And what we're praying for is we're praying that we'd have the right attitude, right? That if need be, that our attitudes would change when we talk about prayer. Listen, we were designed to fellowship with God. And without that fellowship, we ache in emptiness. That's what prayer is, right? He himself planted that longing there, a longing every single one of us shares. Here's Augustine in his landmark work, Confessions, you know. There's a list of Christian books. There's like 100 Christian books that you should read, right, as a believer before you die. And Confessions is top 5 on that list. Right? This is not my list, so don't think I compiled this. It's actually a list compiled by Christianity Today, you know, it was many, many years ago, right, of these books. And this book, Augustine's book, Confessions, was top 5. And here's what it says. It's, "For thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." Right? That's what he's saying, right? "That you have made us for yourself, O God, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in thee." Right? Ecclesiastes says he has, right, set eternity in our hearts. Right? We need to change our attitudes about prayer, you know, to truly understand. There's a story that's told about this small town. And this small town had been historically dry. In other words, there were no pubs or bars or taverns, you know. But then a local businessman decided he wanted to build a tavern in this town. A group of Christians from a local church were concerned. And so they planned an all-night prayer meeting and asked God to intervene. It just so happened that shortly after their prayer meeting, lightning struck the bar and burned it to the ground. The bar owner sued the church, claiming that the prayers of the congregation were responsible, but the church hired a lawyer to argue in court that they were not responsible. The presiding judge, in his wisdom, after the initial review of the case, stated, "No matter how this case comes out, one thing is clear. The tavern owner believes in prayer, and the Christians do not." Right? This is a true story, you know? Sad but true story. You know, don't you find that most of the crazy stories are often true? Right? What am I trying to say? We who believe in prayer, we must change our attitudes. We must change our attitudes. William Barclay, he said this. He says, when we pray, remember 3 things. Number 1, remember the love of God that wants the best for us. Remember that. The love of God that wants the best for us. Number 2, remember the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us. You don't know what's best for you? Remember God's wisdom that he gives freely. Well, that's what James says. And then remember the 3rd one, the power of God that can accomplish it. Remember the love of God that wants the best for us. Remember the wisdom of God that knows what is best for us. And remember the power of God that accomplishes it. All right? If we can encapsulate this in our prayers. See, prayer, friends, right, is transcendent. Prayer goes beyond us. It is a fleshly act. In other words, it's something that we do, but the act itself is out of this world. It's spiritual. It's not natural, right? It doesn't flow in the ebbs and lives of what we see here. It goes beyond us, right? I love this interaction. Peter Jennings was interviewing Mother Teresa, you know, many, many years ago before her death. And I don't know if you know the story of Peter Jennings, but Peter Jennings was a seeker, right? I actually have a pastor friend that he got prayed for. You know, he went to, quick story, he went to Toronto. If you remember, you know, in the mid-90s, there was a phenomenon, a revival called the Toronto Blessing. And Jennings went to go report on this thing for ABC News. And while he was reporting, he got prayed for, right? And he got slain in the spirit, you know, and just was touched by God during this thing. And so if you see his rendition of the Toronto Blessing, it's actually quite positive compared to a lot of other news agencies that, you know, just really kind of like just bashed it in some ways. But Jennings, as a seeker, turned to Mother Teresa and asked this question. You know, and this was kind of off camera, right? And so it wasn't part of the interview. And he says, "What do you say to God when you pray?" And Mother Teresa says, "Nothing, I listen." And then Jennings says, well, what does he say to you? And she said, nothing. He listens. And this is what her final, she said this, and if you can't understand that, I can't help you. Right? It's one of those, ooh, that's deep. She's like, ooh, I feel like I'm swimming in the ocean, it's so deep, right? What do you say to God when you pray? Nothing. I listen. What does God say to you? Nothing. He listens. Right? Prayer is transcendent. It goes beyond us. Right? I guess it's something we do in the natural, but it goes beyond the natural. It touches into something that is so much bigger than we are. Right? Do you see why the enemy is trying to make prayer boring? He's trying to make prayer work. He's trying to make us think prayer is, you know, sheer will, right? Laborious and all these things. Because the enemy knows the power of prayer. It knows that in prayer, not only is there an intimate connection with God flows, all right, but something supernatural happens around us because it's beyond us, right? It's beyond us. You know, prayer is foremost a spiritual activity. We do it in the flesh, but it is a spiritual activity. It is a loving Father earnestly seeking the fellowship and intimacy with His children. Listen, friends, right? If your prayer life is simply, God, give me this, God, give me that, God, bless this, God, bless that, you're missing the whole boat. You're like Peter Jennings, you're lost. No idea what Mother Teresa is saying, right? Because prayer is fellowship with God. It's an intimacy that goes beyond what we do in the natural. When we open our mouth and say, our Father who is in heaven, God, something, we leave the natural and we step into something that's beyond ourselves. That's prayer, right? That's what it is. It's a relationship. It's a loving Father that's seeking after the fellowship of His children. So just stay in that place. You know, many times, you know, when I'm praying, and trust me, I pray through the lists, okay? You know, and, you know, I mean, there's things that I pray for every single day. And I'll probably pray for this for the rest of my life, right? You know, I mean, obviously I pray for the church. I pray for my family. I pray for each one of my kids. I pray for my wife, my dad, you know, my siblings, you know, and their kids. You know, I mean, there's, you know, and so it's, I don't want you to get super spiritual, you know. You know, we live here on earth as well. Right, and so, you know, and we pray lists, but there's times when I, you know, do my intercession and whatnot, and I'm tempted to go, you know, into the office and work, you know, and do the real work or whatnot, and things, and I always hear the Lord just say, stay, just stay, you know, and earlier on when I would hear this word in my heart, you know, I would say, God, I'm done praying. I don't have anything more to say. I prayed for everything that was on my heart. I feel like the Lord just saying, stay, right? Because prayer is intimacy. It's fellowship with God. It's God just, you know, wanting to download and, you know, and not just truth and wisdom and all these things, but just to download His love upon our lives, right? That we may just carry out that love to everyone else that we see around us. The transaction that takes place is through prayer. Right, that's what prayer is, responding, you know, and it's not so much that He needs us, right, it's actually that we need Him, right, like a mother that comes to a weary infant, you know, in the last year or so, actually, I've been sleeping on my own, you know, and we have a guest room, and it's just because, you know, I have to wake up for early morning prayer, and so, you know, I need to make sure I'm asleep, And Lisa, you know, obviously takes care of the baby. You know, I mean, kudos for all moms, right? I mean, you guys are amazing. But last night we had two nights ago we had a guest in our place, and so I had to sleep with with Lisa. And I mean, sounds like it's drudgery. It's not. I enjoy sleeping with my wife, you know, and things. But you know, we had the crib there, and man, it was crazy. I could barely sleep, you know. Hannah woke up 3 or 4 times crying, you know, and then Emma comes into, you know, apparently she comes in about 4 in the morning, right? And, you know, and just kind of sleepwalks into the bedroom. And, you know, I just looked over and said, no wonder you haven't been sleeping, you know. I mean, it's just crazy, right? But you know, the point is, you know, Hannah, and she's like crying and crying, and, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, it's, you know, kind of looking, and, you know, I'm kind of like, Lisa, you know, baby's crying. You know, it didn't really dawn on me that I could actually pick her up myself, right? I was like, honey, you know, she's crying. And then as soon as the mom comes and picks the kid up, and all of a sudden it's just calm again, right? And that's kind of like us, right? We're like that baby crying for the father just to grab us, right? That's the longing in each and every one of us, you know. That happens through prayer. It happens as we touch God, and God touches us, and you know, in a deeper way. James 4:8 says this: draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. I mean, if I could just use one verse in the whole of the New Testament to talk about prayer, it would be this one right here. Right? Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Right? Set aside that time to draw near to Him, and He'll begin to move upon our lives. Right? And you know, and we pray for things. There's nothing wrong with that, you know? In of itself. But if that's the only thing you're doing, there's something a little wrong with that. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? In other words, if it's just all become self-focus, I think we need to grow up a little bit more. Right? But as we draw near to the Lord, He draws near to us. And then we find that all these things that we're really praying about, right, God gives us in His presence. See, in the scriptures, right, if you really analyze it, we ask God for peace. God doesn't necessarily give us peace. You know what He does? He gives us Himself. Jehovah Shalom. When we ask God for victory, God doesn't necessarily grant us victory. You know what He does? He gives us Himself, Jehovah, who is victorious, Jehovah Nissi. Right? You know, we pray for healing. God doesn't necessarily give us healing, but He gives us Himself. It's Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. Right? And a part of when God comes, He brings alongside all these things that we're asking for. But I want to suggest to you, what we're really asking for is actually Him. You know, I remember having this conversation when I was a youth pastor. I'll close with this story. And there were parents, and they were, you know, talking to me. We had a really wonderful youth group, and what had happened is kids just didn't want to go home, right? And parents wanted the kids to study, right? I mean, Korean parents, you know. Asian parents, and you know, to get a good college. And I would sit there and I would just talk with them, and I says, hey, yeah, you want your kids to study? Yeah, I want your kids to study too. But why do you want your kids to study? Because I want them to go to good college. Oh, yeah, okay, that's good. But why do you want them to go to good college? So they can get a good job. Oh, yeah, okay, that's a good one too. So why do you want them to get a good job? Right? So they could, you know, get a, you know, have money and, you know, be successful, right? And I said, oh, that's good, but why do you want them to be successful? Is it because I want my kids to be happy? Okay, so that's the bottom line, right? Yeah, I want my kids to be happy. And I would say, you know what? Your kids are really happy serving the Lord. So you got what you wanted. So back off. Right? I added the back off part to look tough. I didn't say that. I didn't say that to the parents. I just said, okay, you know. But you know, if you really think about it, there's a lot of things we're asking God for. Why are you really asking that? Right? Probably because you want peace. You want to be successful. Some of you guys are asking for jobs. That's good. Why? Because you want to do something, you know? I mean, basically, what I want to suggest to you, what you're really asking for, you're asking for the Lord to come. You want peace. You want His presence. Every time you pray with your heart, God brings Himself to the table. Turn to your neighbor. Say, hey, good looking. Every time you pray, God brings Himself. See? The sad part about that is that we get so focused on ourselves that we forget he's even there. You know? Have you ever had dinner with somebody, right? And like they just talk the whole time and like you're not even in the conversation. You know, at the end you're like, what did you even ask me to come out, man? Like, you just talked about yourself the whole time, you know? It's like, give me a break. You leave the meeting thinking like, you feel a bit used, you know? You feel like, oh, this is kind of weird. You know, the amazing thing about God is we do that to God all the time. Yeah, he doesn't really feel used because he still comes. Still comes. Every time we call upon him, he still comes. Because he's not petty like we are. He's God. Right? And when you pray, when you really pray with your heart, when you respond to God, when you're looking for fellowship, when you're looking for intimacy when you pray, God always shows up. And he'll give you everything you need to succeed. What you really want in that prayer request, God's already given to you because he's released his presence upon you. And so what we need to do is kind of be quiet sometimes and just receive. Amen? Why don't we close our eyes? I try to keep my message a little short today. I don't know how well I did. Because I wanted to offer up for us just a moment. You know, 10 minutes is what I'm going to ask for today. For us to really pray. And remember, I said this last week, and I really mean this. I'm not going to ask you to do something crazy this year, right? So we're not going to have like all-night prayer every night. You know, I got a family too, you know? I got to raise my kids and things. But what I feel like God asking us as a church is kind of like in John, just come and see. And I feel like as a church, if we just respond to the messages, if we just respond to Holy Spirit, we'll go through this year and man, there'll be some incredible changes. Attitudes will change. Our prayer lives will change. Because it's simply responding to the Holy Spirit. And so can I invite you this morning, right? We're just going to have these guys play just very lightly. 10 minutes, right? I did finish my message a little early today. You got 10 minutes. You can go more what, and just wait on the Holy Spirit. You may want to start off and say, God, just thank you for this time or whatever it is. Or maybe there's something really pressing in your heart. You know, something that's really, really there. Tell him about it. Go to him in that prayer. And then, instead of doing what we normally do, instead of keep talking, can I invite you just to be quiet? And allow Holy Spirit to just speak to you. But more than that, allow presence of God to come and give you exactly what you need today. The scriptures tell us the Spirit searches the hearts. No one knows the mind of God, but the Spirit does. And he searches the hearts. The Holy Spirit knows what's on God's agenda for you today. And so you can just go to the Lord now and just begin to lay your requests. And then just be quiet. And just listen. And allow his presence to come. And I want to suggest to you that exactly what you prayed for, that's what God's going to give right now. His presence. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Thank you. as you're being still and if the Lord is speaking to you about something, just respond to Him. Right? It's speaking, listening, responding. Maybe God's giving you some direction or respond to Him. Maybe you can't do it now here in this room, but when you leave, respond to the Lord. Whatever it may be. Maybe you're just feel like just worshiping Him. Just do that. In your own way, just respond to Holy Spirit moving in your life right now. I'm telling you, I could sense the presence of God. It's thick. Respond to the Lord in that way. Sometimes when you're waiting on the Lord and listening, God kind of gives you some clues for other people at times. You know, and this morning as I've been waiting on the Lord, I just really feel like there's some of us here in the room and you feel a bit lost. You know, you've been kind of wondering and there's this question that's been pondering your heart and kind of, God, where are you? God, where are you? If that's you today, I feel like the Lord is just saying this to you. He's saying, I'm right here. I'm right next to you. I've never left your side, ever, for a moment. He's here right now. And He just wants you to take whatever it is that's been burdening you and just give it to Him. And so, Lord, I pray for my friends here today, God, that are a bit lost, God, that are wondering. Lord, things have not quite worked out like they thought, Lord. They're wondering if they made a huge mistake or... But Lord, we thank You, God, that number one, that You're not disappointed in them. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you right now. God is not disappointed in you. There's just a time for everything. And would you just encourage them now in this place that you are there, you're here with them now. And give them the strength, God, to open up their heart to receive what you have in store for them. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. Why don't we rise to our feet, and the worship team is going to lead us in a song as we close our service. You to stretch out your hand to someone. You can grab someone's hand or go across the aisle. Let's pray for each other. Let's pray that when we pray this week, that there'll be a drawing, right? That there will be intimacy that's achieved, that's released in our lives. This week, as we say, Father, God, as we pray to the Lord, let's pray there'll be a drawing. Let's just pray for each other. The person on the left and right of you, just lift up before the Lord right now. Thank you. that you're here right now, God. We thank you, Lord, that as we, Lord, give our hearts to you, God, as we, Lord, utter words that flow out of our hearts, God, that you show up, Lord. You're here, God. But I pray that you would change our attitudes, God, about prayer. Change our attitudes, God, about obedience, Lord. God, change our attitudes about commandments, Lord, about the things of God. We pray, God, that as we come before you, Lord, that intimacy flows. Lord, we agree with James, God. Lord, when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And so we thank you for the drawing, God, and the intimacy, Lord. God, watch over us this week, God, and help us to enjoy our prayer lives, God. We bless you, Lord. We love you, God. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Would you hug your friend next to you and say, man, thanks for praying for me. Say, man, I felt the anointing. As you place your hand on my hand, please join us for some refreshments. By the elevator, there's a book. Every single person is entitled to one free book, you know, for the devotional, right? So please take it and enjoy and have a great week this week.